Good morning. Welcome to church on this lovely morning. It is good to be together. A few announcements before we get started. Our radio sponsor today is Emily, in memory of the Bill Kleinert family. If you would like to sponsor a radio broadcast, you would be welcome to do so. Just get in touch with the office. It's $90 each week. And we have a lot of radio listeners. Our first UCC welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community. And so we welcome and value all people, whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. You are welcome as you are here at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City. Let's take a few moments of silence to come into this holy time, this holy company.
Abundance of care in your relationships, rest in our days, and gentleness towards earth. This is our desire, God of enoughness. Where the grind is glorified, excess is exalted, where people dream of more land, more goods, and more power. We choose mutuality, sharing God. We choose a kind peace, resting God. We choose ordinary wonder, satisfied God. We worship your holy enough.
Our first hymn? Yep, go. Let us pray. Creating God, in selfishness and insecurity, we have traded your healing for our hatred, your calling for our comfort, your truth for our traditions, your faithfulness for our fragmentation, your care for our convenience, your solidarity for our self-righteousness. Forgive us, we pray, again of your love, that we may know you, we may once again be made whole. Amen. God's promise. Beloved of God, hear the good news. God's love never fails us. Even in our division and despair, God desires to be made known. We are forgiven, we are welcome, we are one, for which we say, thanks be to God. Sharing a meal, sharing a discussion. He chose to sat with them, to sit with them, and to talk. That night he took bread, and he broke the bread. And he said, "Eat and remember me." At future tables, future meals, remember who you are. Remember that you are loved. Remember that you are to love others. Remember how we shared this time. Remember your calling. And he took a cup and he poured wine. And he said, "Drink and remember me." Remember that I died for you out of love. Remember that I would do it again. Remember that you are to love each other in the same way. Remember the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, ask you to send your blessing on this meal, this table, all these people. Help us to remember. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. All right, it's our kiddo time. Kiddo, like to come forward? How this happened? Oh, every day this happened, and the rabbi started to think, I wonder what she's doing out there. I wonder if that's safe. I wonder. So one day the kid came home, and she was putting her things down, and she was getting ready to go out into the woods, and the rabbi stopped her, and he said, I wonder why it is that you go outside like this every day after school and you wander in the woods. What are you doing out there? And she said, I go out to be with God. And the rabbi said, well, that's very good. I'm glad that you do that. That's wonderful. But you know what? God is the same everywhere. You don't have to be in the woods to talk to God. And the girl said, I know that God is the same everywhere, but I am not. What do you think of that? All right. I happen to know that you are not very fond of naps. When you get older, you sure as heck will be. But I know right now you're not. But rest is really important. I also happen to know that if you don't get a nap, you can be kind of crabby. This is true. This is real. That happens to all of us, though. If we're too tired, if we're too busy, we can be kind of crabby. We forget to be ourselves. All right, I'm going to pray. You want to hold hands? Holy God, bless the children in our church. Bless the children in our hearts and our lives. Help them to grow in wisdom, in faith, in love of you and love of neighbor. Help them to know that they are precious. Amen. All right, you can go back and sit with Papa.
The reading this morning is taken from 2 Ephesians verses 17 through 22. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole scripture is joined together and grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Here ends the reading. Thank you, Steve and Christy. Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moved and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. "What I like best is doing nothing," said Christopher Robin. "How do you do nothing?" asked Pooh, after he wondered for a long time. Christopher Robin said, "It means just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering." "Oh," said Pooh. When I read the Gospels, I tend to envision Jesus as busy, busy, full of purpose and short on time, going from village
to synagogue, to hilltop and seaside, and miracles and healings and conversations and preaching. He had 3 years or so of active ministry, and he had a lot to get done in that time. There's no excuse for dawdling. But that's not who we see in our reading this week. This workaholic Jesus. We find Jesus who recognizes and who takes care of his own need for rest, for quiet time. He pulls the disciples away from being busy. He sees their need for space and peace in a way that our culture often doesn't. The gospel reading is an odd one this week. I've said that before. But it's disjointed. It's sort of a cut and paste. In the middle there was the reading, the feeding of the 5,000. We'll hear that next week from John. So we hear the disciples, the apostles, return from their first missionary work. They're excited, presumably. They're hyped up. They're ready to go. Maybe they were nervous when they went out. But now they have stories to tell. People welcomed them. They taught. They healed. They did good things. Imagine you've done something big like this for the very first time, your solo project. And it went really well. I can imagine them ready for the next thing, the next project, the next mission. They're on something of a high. Picture them talking all at once. Wait till you hear what happened to me. Wait till you hear. And then Jesus says, shh, quiet down. They might be amped up and ready to go kick some butt. But Jesus says, actually, you need a little bit of peace. Maybe he knows that the stories aren't all great successes. Maybe there was some shaking of dust from their feet, and that hurts. Maybe they had doubted their own ability to do this. So he knew that what they needed was rest. They were tired, they were overstimulated, they had a lot to process. And maybe Jesus does too. He had just lost John the Baptist, his cousin, the prophet, lost him to a senseless, violent death. So he says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Come away with me. He wants to provide this time for his friends to come down from the excitement of success. Jesus knows better than anyone that good ministry is not always popular. He wants to keep them firmly planted in relationship with God, with each other, with their neighbors. He wants to make sure that they value being more than doing. Ministry isn't just a long checklist. That can be hard. It still is. It's hard to measure being. Now, the introvert in me loves that Jesus needed this quiet time. Rest runs through Scripture from the very earliest pages. In Genesis, God rests on the seventh day. We don't have to take it literally to take it seriously. Rest is good and important. God calls the Sabbath holy. Honoring this is hard in our 21st century lives. In Jesus, he has much to do. Places to go, people to see, people to heal. And his most important work, it's not a healing here and there. It's not a speech to a crowd. It's relationships. It's cultivating a group of faithful disciples who would go on to create the kingdom of God. So he asks them to leave the noise and the crowd behind. Sometimes we need to unplug. There's something called the Nap Ministry by Tricia Hersey. She's a performance artist, theologian. Her dad was a black church pastor in Chicago. And she went to seminary and found that she was so busy reading and writing papers and taking tests that she was not honoring her own humanity. You would think that seminary is a place that you should do that, but it's not. And she says, you are not a machine, you are a divine human. If you knew your divinity, you would not be grinding. You would not allow grind culture. If you saw yourself deeply for who you are, you would see the divinity. In our culture, we keep moving, keep being productive. We scroll on our devices, and I am as guilty of that as anyone. We check our email when it dings, many of us. I know there are a few of us who don't have email, and I'm a little jealous. It's an act of resistance to choose rest as a spiritual practice. Rest. So if you dive into this nap ministry, and she calls herself the Bishop of Naps, you'll find it's not just about taking naps. It recognizes that we are culturally estranged from rest. And it looks to help us reconnect with our bodies and our minds and our spirits so we can connect in more authentic ways. Because how can we imagine and create a better world if we are exhausted? How can we create it if we lose touch with our own humanity, with our divinity? We need more peace among the nations, in our communities, but even in ourselves. The way to find peace, the way to find hope, it's not chasing after them. It's not being really busy until you create them. It's being quiet and letting them land on you. If you type, why am I, into a Google search bar, why am I? You know how it fills in for you? The top result is, why am I so tired? The second one is, why am I always tired? It takes a while before you get down to anything else. Why am I so tired? We go through rhythms of action, of rest and play and showing up and all of these. Rest and play, showing up, these are all good, and we need to do all. We're not even very good at resting when we try often. I know that I can sit with Netflix on and also have my phone and also have my iPad and also have something cooking in the kitchen and also put in a load of laundry before I started. When we slow down, we find there is this silent, invisible life. that we were made to be in touch with mystery. There is more going on under the surface if we can get there. Marcus Borg wrote, in The God We Never Knew, in the modern Western world, we've lost a sense of sacred time. Time has been homogenized. The majority of people have the weekend off. It is typically filled with ordinary busyness, catching up on work and household chores, buying and selling, recreational activities, and so forth. In the name of freedom, work has penetrated every moment of the week. That's what Sabbath was supposed to be, a day of rest. Bayo Akamolefe wrote, times are urgent. Let us slow down. The times are urgent. Let us slow down. Wendell Berry, many of you have heard of him. He's a farmer and activist, and he knows hard work, and he knows struggle. And he knows that sometimes you have to stop. He wrote, when despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and what my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. This is my prayer for you, beloved community. You will find time to rest in the grace of the world and be free. Amen. Our hymn will be on the screen. It's Come Away from Rush and Hurry. To the tune of,
well, it's called Nettleton, but probably Holy Spirit Ever Dwelling. I played it between the two scriptures, so.
Oh yeah, so everybody knows it. Right.
Thank you.
gentlemen. You may sit. Now we can share prayers with God, who knows all the details, knows and loves us in all things. Prayers to share today.
Thank you. A joy and a thank you to Marcy for all the flowers that she brings into church all summer long. And it's good to see Cliff in church, and we wish him a quick recovery on his hip injury. And there is a well-wisher card for him in the back if anybody wants to sign it.
I have a prayer for my niece, Christina. Some of you may know she was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, and her percentage, life percentage to survive it is low, very low. She was rushed to the hospital last night with a high fever and is now admitted for pneumonia. So just prayers for her, please.
Again, I'd like to thank all the guys that helped this last Saturday to finish off our parking lot, which looks pretty cool and clean. Again, it was Mark and Chris, and it was Gary, and it was Steve, and we had Herm there this time, so he supervised. And I'd also like to keep Dean Daynard and his brother in our prayers. Many of you have heard Dean's brother is struggling with stomach cancer, so Dean knows what it's like to be a caregiver, and I hope that he finds some rest for himself. So let's keep him in our prayers.
There are no more prayers to share aloud. Let's. Oh, there are. Yes.
I've been around a long time here, but I want to just offer up a thanks to Tammy Hirth for all of the mowing that she does, and she loves it. And she had a most deserved vacation, and she said, "Could you possibly mow the church?" And I said, yeah, sure, because I did it as a job when I was between my sophomore and junior year in high school. I mowed all the time here that summer. And it brought back lots of memories, and I'm pleased to say I didn't take out any basement windows this time, which I did back in 1967. John Gentz was not pleased with me at that time, but I think I just did the church itself and the parsonage. Tammy does the park too, and she takes great pride in it, and she does a wonderful job. And I think we need to acknowledge just what she does for us, because that is a huge job. I was exhausted after just doing the church, so thanks to Tammy for all she does.
All right, now let's take a few moments of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. Ground of being. We pray today for Christina in the hospital, for her family, for her health. We pray for Dean and his brother. Holy God, we also give thanks. We give thanks for our big, beautiful church lawns and that somebody mows them for us, for Tammy. We give thanks that we still have all the basement windows. We give thanks for the parking lot project and all who worked so hard on that. We are grateful to have Cliff Beck getting better from an injury. And we are grateful for the beauty of flowers. For church members who show up. For all these prayers and those in our hearts, Holy God, we ask you to hear us today. And I included some good news again today. There are in Hungary something called pet pirates. And I am not going to say what PET stands for, but you can read it there. These pirates go out into the lake and clean up plastic bottles, containers, all sorts of things. They have a competition to see who can collect the most booty from the lake. Last year, 20,000 pounds of trash. So thank you, God, for people who are trying to take care of our world and being creative. And now join me in praying as Jesus taught us, and I will preface this with I included a slightly different version. You can use, it's printed on the insert as well. On the back of the bulletin, we have the usual one. You can use whatever words are comfortable. The one that we often do is not actually a fantastic translation from the Greek. You can look it up. So this is one that they use every week at Holy Wisdom Monastery over in Madison. As I said, use whatever words are comfortable. Trespasses, debts. Holy One, our only home, blessed be your name. May your day dawn, your will be done, here as in heaven. Feed us today and forgive us as we forgive each other. Do not forsake us at the test, but deliver us from evil. For the glory, the power, and the mercy are yours, now and forever. Amen. And God invites us to share from our many, many blessings to build this community of friends and neighbors. Thank you. Let us pray. And Jesus answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." In the spirit of Jesus' tradition, we dedicate our offerings, O God. Grant us savviness in our distribution of material goods and joy in our sharing. Amen. You may sit. And our closing hymn is from the New Century Hymnal, "God Be With You," number 81, verses 1 and 2. I think you'll know it even without the hymnal. And please stand if you are willing and able. Holy God, we ask that you be with each and every one of us this week as we go out into your world to do good. May we rest as we need it. May we be active as we need. May we be there for each other and those who need. May we know that we are precious and beloved and divine, and see that in others as well. In your many names we pray, amen. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. 2279